The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 12th of June. And I have joining us on the phone all the way from Gran Canaria, Mr. Simon Teague. Simon, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you all?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, for interrupting your lovely sun-kissed holiday to join us here on the bunker.
I've come off the beach. I've come off the beach specially for you. It's beautiful here.
I was going to say, go on, tell us what the temperature is, go on.
Well, it's not too bad this time of year. It's about 26
to 28. A little bit cooler in here, Simon.
Yeah. I can live with it.
Yeah, 32 here today.
Yeah, it's about that temperature in the studio, to be honest, So, are you having a nice time? That's the thing.
Very nice. Very relaxing.
Good.
Just wanted to have a week out before the conference this Friday, just make sure that, you know, I'm chilled, relaxed.
Yeah, why not?
Material prepared, all that kind of stuff.
I like it.
Come back with a tan, you know.
Yeah, I
just
like
to make Nettie jealous.
Whatever, I can use a sunbed. It's
spray tan.
Yeah.
Talking about that, Simon, why don't you launch straight into that? You're staging the King's Summit.
Yes.
Tell us all about it. It's this Friday?
It's this Friday. Mm-hmm. It's at the Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, which is within the cathedral grounds. Mm. Beautiful venue. I think you've had the Young Conference there.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the Keebra Awards were there, I think, recently.
Yeah. No, I've done a number of events there. It's a fantastic venue.
You've done a number
venue.
Of events there, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's good. Mm. Yeah, I think we've got about just over 100 people now registered that will be there, which is a good number. And it's a whole day, so we start at about 8:45, mm-hmm. and then we'll be finishing at 4:30. There's lunch and all that stuff in the middle. You know?
Fantastic.
So it's good. Yeah.
So tell us, the King's Summit, what's it all about? What's its aim? What's it based on?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, really, what happened was three things all happened at a very similar time. The first was that we've been working with Think and Grow Rich as a coaching program in my company for a number of years.
Sorry to interrupt you, Simon. That's the Napoleon Hill book, yeah?
That is the Napoleon Hill book, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's sold over 100 million copies. Mm. But for the last 2 years, they've been working on producing it as a film to give, you know, a different angle, if you like, different insight.
Okay.
And we invested in that production 2 years ago, and the film has now just been released.
Okay.
It's not released to the general public. We own the rights to it, so we'll be showing parts of that film on the day, and people can actually buy the film on the day as well, which is great.
That's fascinating. So just very quickly, very briefly, the film itself, how's it deployed? Is it a film about the life of Napoleon Hill, or is it a film looking at how using the teachings from that and other books work? Explain how the film works.
Yeah, so the film is a mix of a documentary and reconstruction of some of the events that are discussed in the book. So give you a quick example. Thomas Edison was featured quite heavily in the Napoleon Hill book.
Yep.
And there was a particular scene which is reenacted of when he was a child and he received a letter from his headmaster, and his mother read the letter, and basically he'd been expelled from school because he wasn't very bright. Now, this is the guy who's basically the world's greatest ever inventor.
Mm.
And she basically said to him, you know, the school are not good enough to teach you. They've sent you home because they're not good enough to teach you. Mm. I'm going to teach you. She didn't tell him anything about the fact the school had, you know, expelled him.
Mm.
So he was brought up with a positive mindset all his life, and it's what really enabled him to be the greatest inventor, because he learned never to give up. You know, 10,000 attempts to create the light bulb, you know, you'd think someone would have given up by that point.
Yeah.
But he kept on going, and that was really back to that instant where if she'd have said to him, you know, like a lot of parents do with their kids, in fact, kids receive their school reports and see them before their parents do now, which I think is terrible.
Absolutely.
Because you know, that we need to have a positive mindset in our schools and in business as well. And I think that story comes across really well in the film. in the way that they've done it.
Absolutely. I know it's not Napoleon Hill, and they may mention it somewhere there, but it reminds me of something I saw the other day, which is about Albert Einstein. Somebody reproduced the letter he got when he applied to a university to do a PhD, and he sent an outline of the theory that he wanted to focus on in his dissertation. And the guy wrote back to him saying, please don't bother us with stuff like this. I've read your theory. It's utterly ridiculous and juvenile. And no, you've been turned down for a place. And you think, yeah, okay, fair enough. Cool. So you've got the film. But more than that, you've obviously got the King's Summit on Friday, where you're going to be showing clips from the film, but you're going to be doing lots of other things, I guess, as well.
Yeah, we're going to be doing lots of activities with the business owners. I mean, the core aspect of the King's Summit is to help business owners to develop a kind of think and grow rich mindset, but at the same time then go back with some real practical solutions that they can take into their business on Monday morning and grow their business, grow it safely and sustainably over a period of time. And the brilliant thing about it, I mentioned that there were three things that kind of came together. The other thing that came together was a project we were asked to do with the Chamber and Ashford Borough Council called Scale Up.
Oh, yes,
and we're working with, the 16 companies we're working with now in Ashford, which is great. Most of them are family businesses. I know you were talking about family businesses earlier.
Yeah, sure.
But the work we've done with these companies over the last 6 months, using some of the Think and Grow Rich philosophies and the coaching program that we have always delivered, the results have just been staggering. I mean, we will be taking on over 100 new jobs, I think, in the next six months with these companies.
Wow.
And they're growing on average by about 22 to 25%.
So, Simon, sorry to interrupt you. Are any of these businesses going to be there on Friday?
Yes, so I think probably half of the 16 will be there on Friday, which is great.
Cool.
Because we've got some real-life examples and case studies that people can actually discuss.
Yeah,
and share so the environment will be one of sharing as well. You know, it's not just speakers on the stage talking to the audience. It's about actually engaging with the audience as well and creating miniature workshops during the day.
Fantastic.
So it'll be very interactive, but it will be also very useful. I've been to a lot of these conferences before where people are selling from the stage and all this kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's not actually that helpful, is it?
No.
This is going to be real, tangible things that we've piloted with 16 companies that have had great effect.
Well, you've got evidence, haven't you? You've got evidence there in the audience of one, that you've done it, and two, the success that you've achieved with it.
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the third element was really interestingly at the same time, there's a new church that's been set up in Canterbury called Favour House Church. And the pastor there had what he believes is a vision from God saying that he wanted to bless businesses in Kent. And that this is why we've called it, if you like, the King's Summit, because behind it, when you look at Think and Grow Rich, a lot of the philosophies have come straight from the Bible, from the book of Proverbs and the way, if you like, the Jews run their businesses. And so there's some real, you know, core stuff. It might go back a few thousand years, but it's just as relevant today than it ever has been before.
Absolutely. So are there any tickets left for Friday if people haven't booked already?
There are tickets, yeah. We've still got some space, so they can get the tickets just going online to thekingssummit.com, and there are still some Chamber and FSB tickets there that are discounted.
Wow.
So if they're a member of the Chamber or FSB, then they can get the lower price tickets.
Fantastic. So that's thekingssummit.com if somebody wants to book a last minute place because they haven't done it yet.
Yep.
Getting quick. And if you're
always one or two.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're a member of the Kent Invicta Chamber or the Federation of Small Business, there's a discount available as well. Simon,
there is, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us and interrupting your holiday. We do appreciate it. We wish you a fabulous rest of your holiday and much success with the King's Summit on Friday. And I'm sure you'll come back afterwards and tell us how it all went and give us some feedback on the day and what happened.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, hopefully we'll see you guys there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll all be there.
We'll see you then.
Okay.
Simon, thank you so much for that. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Don't drink too much. And don't fall in the swimming pool. And don't get sunburnt. Put your factor 50 on. Yeah.
Okay.
Simon, thank you so much. And we'll speak to you soon. Right. Take care.
Cheers, folks.
Bye now. Bye. Simon Teague there, all the way from Gran Canaria. That was a good line as well, fall that way, wasn't it?
I'm amazed.
Yeah,
do you think
good.
He made that up? Mm. Simon, it's ring not, back in a minute. Yeah, seriously,
yeah.
You're in Folkestone.
Yeah, he is really, isn't he? That's why it wasn't very warm. He's on the harbour arm, isn't he?
He just looked up the temperature, I
think. Yeah. No, it's good to hear from him. So thank you for that. So having talked to Simon, let's talk to Nettie now briefly. So Nettie, it's lovely to see you.
Sorry, I was late.
No, that's okay. You did text me and I ignored you.
Fair enough.
Which is, you know, down to me. But you did have to walk here.
That is when you know a relationship has gone too far, isn't it? When your texts are ignored.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, we were on air, though, love.
I know.
We're very professional.
I know. I know.
So, having walked here, you got your breath back now.
Absolutely, I'm fine.
Good.
Absolutely fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how are things with you? What's going on in your world? I know that you've been involved somewhat with the King Summit.
Yes, I'm just talking really to Simon and just generally. I wouldn't say I've been particularly involved, but definitely knowing what's going on. It's really interesting to see, as it always is, when somebody puts something on that's a little bit different.
Mm.
And I think there is, you know my view on this. I love all the stuff for startups and small businesses, but there's quite a lot of that. Established businesses everybody seems to think they know what they're doing, and actually they're often the people that
have
built something and they've gone to the point that they don't know what to do next. I think that's really interesting.
This could be something we discuss with Sean in the second part of the programme as well, I'm sure. But you're absolutely right. You know, we do focus an awful lot on startups, quite rightly, you know, because people need help when they're starting up a business. Of course
they
do. But what we tend to then take our foot off the gas on is those companies that have been going 2 years, maybe 3 years, and because moving from, you know, a micro business to the next stage up is probably harder than actually starting a business in the first place, because you have radical changes in the way that you do things.
It's called the Peter Principle. You reach a level of incompetence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we all reach it, and then it's how we then move from that place. Do we stay there?
Yeah.
Which is where a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And we stay with bosses that you find are incompetent at that level.
Yeah.
Or you actually strive and then find a coach.
Mm.
There you are. See what I've done there, Sean?
Very much.
Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
You find a coach, or you find a mentor, or you go to an event, or you go to your learning, and then you move up with your competency.
Yeah. Mm. But I think as well, a lot of these business owners don't let go. And that's the hardest thing. You can recruit all the right staff, but if you don't let them do the job, they won't stay. And it's all of that as well.
When I had a proper job about 110 years ago,
I didn't know, realise it was that recent.
Nobody tried to disagree with him either then.
Yeah. One of the things I noticed in a big corporate, when you looked around the management, various levels of management, is how many managers don't seem to understand what real management is about. And what I mean by that is they seem to think that a manager is the font of all wisdom, and that as a manager they should know everything, and if they don't know it then it's not worth knowing, or you know, they can dismiss it. And I always found that particularly perverse, because I would think as you move up the hierarchy, you realise there's more and more stuff you don't know.
Absolutely.
Rather than more and more stuff that you do know. And I saw far too many middle managers running their fiefdoms based on the limited knowledge they had of whatever their technical expertise area was. And that's another thing that you see quite a lot, is people promoted into management positions because of their technical expertise. Then you end up with a useless manager and less one technical specialist. What are you doing? Why are you flapping about over there?
Well, one of our guests has just wrote something very rude on a piece of paper, so I'm trying to control myself.
I wouldn't. Has she been drawing doodles?
No.
Are they staying?
Yeah.
I can't even repeat it live.
Can you not?
Okay. No. Let's leave it there.
Yeah, shall we?
Out of the two of us, you would think that she was Mrs. Prim and Proper.
You would, wouldn't you?
You really would.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't be further from the truth, but I'll introduce her later.
Okay. Really?
Sorry, Nettie.
Only if you must.
Yeah.
She's here, so I do feel.
Actually, two other things on business growth. Something that I've really noticed the last probably 2 or 3 months. Is the amount of SEIS going on.
There's been
amazing growing businesses locally. Yeah. And I'm loving that people are starting to look at that much more positively, and the tax relief bits on it, and my wonderful talk there, tax relief bits.
Yeah, I've got that. It's highly technical,
it's
that,
like stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, and this is one of the issues, actually, a lot of people don't know or didn't know about SEIS, which is the Small Enterprise Investment Scheme.
Yeah.
And it's a government scheme whereby they kind of ring fence some of your investment against, or potentially offset it against tax.
Yeah.
And there are two schemes, EIS and SEIS. EIS is the Enterprise Investment Scheme, and that's for high-end investments, or SEIS, which is for smaller investments. And it's when you invest in a startup business, and you can get some, if it's approved as an SIS scheme, SEIS scheme, you can then get some tax relief should it fail.
It is, but also it's the investors that can get tax relief as well, so it's good for the investors.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. As an investor, I was thinking about me there rather than them.
And that's good, actually, because, you know, again, it's having the confidence, and it stops people doing this and keeping it all to themselves. It makes them realise that there's some brilliant help out there.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's an effective way of doing it.
But there are a lot of good schemes to help businesses get off the ground and invest and do things, and RIFT are heavily involved in more than one of those as well, because as accountants you will help people get SEIS accredited. But also there's the R&D tax credits, which the government are still fully behind in terms of repaying people.
Gone up.
I know. And again, it's one of those things that not enough people are aware of, or if they are aware of it, R&D tax credits, they think it only applies to little blokes in lab coats.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't. It's amazing what you can get as an R&D tax credit, you know, and what counts as research and development.
Our biggest sector at the moment is construction, by a mile, and this is because these people are solving problems all the time.
Yeah,
nobody's ever said to them, actually, your competitors would want to get hold of that.
Mm.
That's actually R&D. You're doing something different.
Yep.
It's amazing what's out there, but people don't talk enough about that stuff either.
Absolutely.
And again, this is those developing businesses.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you a little story.
Yeah,
very
go for it.
Quick little story here.
Yeah.
I gained a new customer about 2 weeks ago. Now, that's not news in itself. Because of the banter with us three on the radio.
Right.
Talking straightforward business.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. Let's stop all these long words and making things complicated so that it makes people important.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm not bright enough.
I was just going to say exactly that. As a bearer of very little brain, I can't be doing with all this highfalutin nonsense. I like to keep things as basic and as obvious as you possibly can. It needs to be straightforward, and too often people try to overcomplicate things. And I think a lot of it is they're trying to make value out of what they do. By coming up with long words and, you know, solutions-based things to do stuff, you don't actually really need to do that.
No.
I mean, because the value of what people are doing is good, yeah? It's the fluff that goes around it that's probably not necessary. You just need to be a bit more straightforward.
I don't believe it's their fault, though. We're at this moment where we've got social media at the peak. Yeah. You're at, you know, let's get as many followers as you can.
Yeah.
I just read a tweet, a Facebook read this morning saying I'm fed up with people asking me to join groups so that I can share them. It's not anybody's fault. It's it's where we are at the minute.
Yeah.
People want numbers, and at the end of the day, the marketplace dictates. Mm. So all you got to do is sell. Isn't that it? It's transactional.
Yeah.
Whether it be impactful information. At the minute, we're just about, just make an impact, build your profile. Well, when do I make money?
Yeah.
And that's the difficult bit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bert. And you see this time after time with lots of things. You're talking about numbers, you know. A lot of people will talk numbers because they can't really think of anything else to talk about. But it isn't actually always that important. It all depends what numbers you're talking about, of course. But it isn't always that important, and there's that years-old saying about, you know, income for companies, whatever it is, you know. Cash is king type thing.
Do you know what's gone out of my head?
Yeah, it's turnover's vanity. Turnover is vanity. Profit is sanity. And cash is king.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's as still as true as it ever was, but people still talk about, you know, bandy these big figures about what have you. Yeah.
But it's figures that actually mean nothing.
Mm.
Oh, I've got 2 million, you know, Instagram followers.
You're going to start me on a rant now. You're going to start me on a rant now because it's a 20th century phenomenon, numbers. In the 20th century, we had this thing about being as big as you possibly could because you had to be big in order to do anything. Yeah. If you wanted to be an international business, you had to be big. Yeah. You couldn't just launch an overseas subsidiary. Yeah. You had to be really big to do that. Yeah. In order to get economies of scale, you had to be big. So we've all, and TV advertising, and, you know, back in the day, you won't remember this, Bert, because you're too young, but back in the day when there were only two channels on TV, you would have 25 million people watching the same programme. For people of a certain age, if I go Cracker Jack, they'll finish the whole thing off for me, because every single one of us watch that programme. It's Friday, it's 5 o'clock, it's Cracker Jack. And like 30 million kids watch that, and you all watched it at the same time, because it was only on once, at 5 o'clock on a Friday. And now it isn't. Even if it's still on the TV, you could watch it on any number of platforms. You can watch it on catch up, on listen again. You can at any time of the day or night. So those kind of big number things are a 20th century phenomena. And for my mind, too many people are still obsessed with big numbers. And it's not about big numbers. It's about the quality of what you're dealing with rather than how many you've got of anything. In my humble opinion.
We could go on about this forever.
We could.
Because I do love, I love this little rant that we do. Mm. But it's really interesting. And at the end of the day, you have to adapt to how business is today, not how it was with Cracker Jack.
Mm.
So we don't have just two channels anymore. We've got a million channels.
Exactly.
And a million ways of looking at something. And actually, we're doing it in our own time.
Exactly. But one of the things you find, I don't know if you've seen this syndrome, is so many people try to reproduce the past.
Oh, yeah.
They go, well, that's how we used to do it. We ought to go back to doing it like that. You can't uninvent things.
Never go back.
You can't go backwards. You can't uninvent anything because somebody's already invented it. You know, it's like the nonsense going on with social media platforms at the moment. Yeah. There are certain political institutions that are trying to shut it down because they don't like it. They want to go back to before Facebook and Twitter and everything existed. You can't.
No.
There's no way. It doesn't matter how many rules they pass, they'll find a way around it. Already, GDPR, which is one of the most farcical things I've ever seen, GDPR, have you seen? The Washington Post are now charging a premium rate if you want a GDPR compliant version of their paper.
Good on them.
And you just think, yes. You know, they just said, if you really want to fall for this nonsense, you're going to have to pay more. Here you go.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got one more thing for my soapbox, though, and that is something that I really want people to do, and that is check out the speakers at events and so on that they go to. Because, you know, if you go to an event, particularly if you're paying for an event, make sure that that speaker is who they say they are, that they really have got a business, that they really are running something, that they really are doing something. I'm not suggesting anyone in this room is not in that category.
Sure, even more is, please, if you're a speaker, make sure your photograph looks like you.
Yes.
I can't bear it. It does my head in.
That looks like you this week. Not when you were 12.
My jaw drops with the amount of speakers that don't look like their photo.
I know.
To be honest, I don't trust whatever you tell me now.
No, because you're pretending you're someone who looked like you did 20 years ago, to start with. But no,
you're right.
You know, I've got this thing about, I had a client a while ago who'd been networking.
Mind you, I was brainier 20 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
No, I had a client who went to a networking event, enjoyed what the person said. It was a lady who spoke. I do know who it is, but it's not relevant for this audience. Went back and did the due diligence to find this person had been filing dormant accounts for the last 2 years. Standing on their stage, telling people how to do whatever. Yeah.
You see that quite often, don't you?
Be very careful. And I'd be very careful the people who are employing those people to do it as well.
I was just going to say, research.
Yeah,
when you
research.
Book a speaker as well.
Not just because they're
saying. Who's responsible for that? Is it the event organiser? Is it the speaker? Do we hold joint responsibility?
I think it's both. I think the speaker should be on. If a speaker stood on stage and said, I'm just starting out in business, this is what I used to do, I'd have far more time for them than pretending they've been doing it.
I mean, I think any kind of person can have some kind of insight that could be useful. You don't have to have been financially successful in life to have something useful to say. I think that's a given. I think the thing that I agree with Nettie on is people that want to tell you how to do something when they've never done it themselves. And that's the thing that I find difficult with people. And Amanda would tell you, because she laughs at me all the time, whenever I come across anyone, and I mean anyone, the first thing I do is I go into Experian and I pull all their numbers and everything. I go, so somebody will go, oh, they've got a seven-figure business. No, they haven't. because I've just seen it so often where people will tell you stuff and then it's not so.
Yeah.
And I don't mind them. I don't mind anyone giving me insights into something. You know, I mean, it's perfectly possible to have an insight into something, having sight as a hermit. But, you know, you might have thought it up.
Yeah.
But it's selling it incongruously that bothers me. You know, people, you know, multi-million pound business person, so-and-so is going to tell you how to run a business. And you go, but you've never actually run a multi-million pound business.
Well, you might have been employed in one.
Yeah, yeah, possibly, tenuously.
Mm. Yeah. Can I just add something there as well, Paul, that, and I feel really strongly about, is the amount of speakers who manipulate from the stage, who use certain techniques to prey on emotions, to prey on needs, and you know, and there are techniques that they use to, you know.
Oh, and there are some very well known speakers, very, very well known speakers that do that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Paul Andrews was one.
Ha ha ha.
It was going so well.
Well, that killed that conversation, didn't it? She's completely ruined my next pitch now.
You go for it. You do it anyway. Go on.
I don't want to sell you anything now. I was going to sell you something really nice.
Oh.
Yeah, I was going to sell you something really nice, but now you've blown me now. So now I'm not. So there you go.
I can help myself.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, there you go.
So, what else are you up to, Nessie? What time of year are we? Oh, we're June, aren't we? Yeah. So you're not under the cosh with taxes and stuff at the moment.
No, but company year ends happen every month.
Yeah, of course, that's true.
As do CIS returns and VAT returns and all of that. So know what? It's just business as usual, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
all that admin.
Yeah, loads of it going on.
Good stuff.
Mm.
So, how are things at the Rift Ranch?
Rift Ranch is busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
Cool.
It's all good. Lots going on. Like I said, construction's big for R&D. Mm. Generally, accounting business is good. Loads going on, really.
Yeah, Nessie, I've got a question for you.
Don't make it a difficult one.
When you're this busy,
yes.
Do you still look out for new business?
Yes. Would never stop.
That's a really good question. It's a really good question because especially when people are sole traders or, you know, single micro businesses on their own, that is the biggest problem they face, is that once they get a contract to do something, they stop business development while they deliver against the contract. Then when it's finished, you run out. I used to work as a consultant. I was a management consultant, worked on my own, and it happened to me all the time. I'd get a big gig to go and do something for a couple of months. Yeah. You throw your heart and soul into it. You'd earn a load of money, and then you deliver your report and you go, right, I've got nothing to do now.
Well, don't you think that's the reason a lot of businesses go through peaks and troughs?
Yeah, yeah, of
because
course.
Something comes in, you all run at that. It's like the old programme run around, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
you all
exactly.
Run to the green corner.
Read, run around.
You've forgotten that the yellow corner's unattended over here.
Yeah.
So, no, never stop looking for new business. That's the crux of it. And and everything else is stuff you've already committed to do, so you need a team in place to deal with that.
And you're absolutely right. And to follow on from that, the way to do that, because people go, well, how do I do that? How do I generate new business while I'm already dealing with a client? But the fact is that new business is a pipeline.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is keep feeding it out,
absolutely.
feeding it out, because eventually something comes down the pipe and turns into something solid.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to keep pumping stuff out, keep marketing your business, keep putting things out whilst you're doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
But people stop because they've got work to do.
And I think it happens more in a smaller business when you've got so few staff. You know,
it's normally a one-person business that suffers the most from
that. One thing that always comes up is time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not an excuse, but ultimately that's
absolutely.
That it's always there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, you're absolutely right, Sean, and that's the problem, isn't it? It's how do you fit it all in, how do you do it, or how do you get it all done? And that's the key task in building a business, is how do you cope with everything? You know, from the kind of things that Nettie's just saying, you know, you set up a business to do X, Y, Z, no, I don't know, it doesn't matter what you set it up to do. But then, unlike when you work for somebody else doing whatever it is you do technically, You also have to do the VAT returns every quarter. You also have to do your annual returns. You also have to look for investment. You also have to build a pipeline of new business. You also have to deliver the business. You also have to do the marketing for your business. You also have to tweet 4,000 times a day. You also have to do your Facebook updates.
But that's
the problem.
And that's also about surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not one man is an island, because that's where it all falls over.
Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. No man is an island, and turn to itself.
Oh, he's so
John
good,
Dunn.
Isn't he?
John so Dunn.
Good. So clever, but that is because he's 142. Oh, no, he work 142 years ago. He's more than that.
Yeah.
145.
No, he's 42. That's the answer to everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously.
Cool. No, you're absolutely right. And Nettie, it's lovely to see you, as always. Thank you for getting Simon onto the show for us.
No,
we really do appreciate that. You always deliver some lovely guests for us to talk to. And as you say, you know, talking business in a straightforward, down-to-earth, sensible way is what people want to hear.
It is. Mm.
Brings in Rift Business.
Absolutely. And so I just say to you, if you want to know more about the Small Enterprise Investment Scheme, if you want to know more about claiming back tax R&D, if you want to know more about how to form a company properly, I'm saying no more.
There is no more to be said.
There's no more to be
said.
We've
seen it all recently.
We have, yeah.
There is no more to be said.
Absolutely. Anyway, we won't go there, but you need to talk to an accountant and a good accountant and a good local accountant to get decent advice before you do anything.
Can you think of one of those?
No, but in the interim, I'll mention you.
Okay,
cool. Yeah. So do talk to the lovely folks at Rift. I am serious now. Do talk to the lovely folks at Rift. They're a local accountancy firm. You can find out. Read some of their blogs. They've got some fantastically interesting blogs as well. Riftaccounting.co.uk. Check out the website. Check out the blogs. Check out what they do. Check out the things. They talk about all these things. They give you an insight into them.
And really do them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's loads of things that we need to find out about in business. And even if you think you know, the business landscape changes on a regular basis, you know. So things like flat rate VAT and all that kind of stuff has all changed recently. So what you may have been advised a few months ago is not necessarily the right advice now, because things change all the time. So check it out. Get some help. Get some support. It's always worthwhile. Nettie, thank you so much for being
here.
You're
very welcome. Nice
it's a pleasure to see you, as always. So that's Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting.